At the northern end of the Sunni Triangle, another army division made a similarly belligerent entrance. In mid-April, the Marines briefly occupied Saddam Hussein's hometown of Tikrit and were preparing to turn it over to the Army's 4th Infantry Division. Unusual for an officially produced document, the official history produced by the 1st Division of the Marine Corps is disapproving, even contemptuous, of what it calls the 4th Infantry Division's very aggressive posture as that unit came into Iraq. The lead elements of this division began to arrive in Tikrit on the 19th of April and were given a thorough orientation to the peaceful situation in town and the continuing exercise in self-governance being worked with local leaders, stated the draft of the 1st Marine Division history of its time in Iraq in 2003. Despite that, it continued, the arriving staff of the 4th Infantry Division had a sterner perspective on the situation. They characterized their recent road march to Tikrit from Kuwait as an attack and remained convinced that the situation in Tikrit required a very aggressive military enforcement posture. The dichotomy between the two peacekeeping strategies was unsettling for the Marines, and many winced when Army Apache attack helicopters swooped into the division battle space without coordination and began to strafe abandoned enemy equipment indiscriminately, often in close proximity to Marine forces or innocent civilians. Strikingly, the draft of the Marine history became even more pointed when it was revised. The final version noted that the Marines threw a farewell dinner to cement relationships with local tribal leaders. The design was to use this opportunity to pass down relationships based on trust and mutual respect, the history stated. The meeting was successfully concluded, with plans for future contact with the northern tribes established. Then, it goes on to say somewhat ominously, the meeting might have been even more productive had senior officers from 4th Infantry Division been willing to attend. The history dryly notes that the Marines, despite some misgivings, turned over the area to the 4th Infantry Division and departed on April 21. Stores that had reopened quickly closed back up as the people once again evacuated the streets, adjusting to the new security tactics, the final draft of the history reported. A budding cooperative environment between the citizens and American forces was quickly snuffed out. The new adversarial relationship would become a major source of trouble in the coming months. The Army perspective was quite different. Lieutenant Colonel John Gentile, who was executive officer of the Army Brigade relieving the Marines in Tikrit, later argued, "The Marines' velvet glove covered some dangerous problems that we were soon to face." When the Army sent out a night patrol, which he said the Marines hadn't done, it encountered looters carrying off rocket-propelled grenades and mortar rounds. Major General Raymond Odierno, the 4th ID commander, later said that he was very confused by the Marines' criticism. "It was such a short period of time that the two services overlapped in Tikrit," he said. At any rate, he knew of only one instance of an Army Apache helicopter firing without needed clearance from the Marines. But it wasn't just Marines who were taken aback by the 4th ID's aggressive stance. Unlike most Army divisions, it hadn't been deployed for decades, missing out on Panama, the 1991 Gulf War, Somalia, Bosnia, Kosovo, and Afghanistan. At its home base of Fort Hood, Texas, it sometimes was mocked as the second team, taking a back seat to its neighbor, the 1st Cavalry Division. Then it was assigned the role of invading Iraq from the north in the spring 2003 attack, only to be prevented from executing that mission when the Turkish government declined to permit the movement of U.S. troops through its territory. It is remarkable how consistently other soldiers were put off by the 4th Division's stance during its early days in Iraq. "We slowly drove past 4th Infantry guys looking mean and ugly," recalled Sergeant Kayla Williams, then a military intelligence specialist in the 101st Airborne. "They stood on top of their trucks, their weapons pointed directly at civilians. What could these locals possibly have done? Why was this intimidation necessary? No one explained anything, but it looked weird and felt wrong." Her gut sense would be borne out in the coming months, as the 4th ID would commit more than its share of abuses of Iraqis.